Good morning, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be part of your worship this morning. I'm glad to see you after 4 years that have been passed. I am so thankful to God to be with you and to visit you once again. I am so thankful also to the Lord for the plans that He has given me 25 years ago. I have Bible study in the Philippines, and two of those people who attended the Bible studies are actually living here in California, and they are there at the back. They are the one taking care of me every time I visit United States. So I am so thankful to God, and I am glad to be part of this church and to be part of your mission around the world. If you have your Bible with you, please open with me in the book of John, in the Gospel of John chapter 16. I'll just be reading the verse 33, and from the book of 2 Timothy. John chapter 16, verse 33. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, NASB. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but take courage. I have overcome the world. In the writings of Apostle Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, yes, let me read verse 1 up to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as this. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Please be with me in prayer. Precious Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity once again to gather together before you as your children, to honor you and to worship you. May you bless your servant this morning. May you enlighten our hearts and mind through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to teach us through your words and encourage us, most especially in these difficult times, as we continue in our faith and in our service to you and to your kingdom. Thank you, Father. Bless your servant this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Well, an honest overview of the Gospel of John, so that we will be understanding the passage in its proper context. Well, if you are going to read the Gospel of John, which is actually 21 chapters, after its introductory chapter, chapter 1, in which John introduced who Jesus is and who Jesus was, you will notice that from chapter 2 up to chapter 12, Jesus is actually doing His ministry to the public. And we call this part of chapter 2 up to chapter 12 as His public ministries, because He was in the public trying to prove and proving the claim of chapter 1 that He is pre-existence and that He is the one who created. And through Him, this world was created. So He proves the claim of chapter 1 that He is the Logos, the eternal Son of God who came into flesh. Coming from chapter 13 up to chapter 18, verse 11, you will notice that Jesus is talking to His immediate disciples. And we call it the private ministry of Jesus, because He was talking directly to His immediate disciples. Knowing that, looking at that, chapter 13, when we remember that He served them by washing the feet of the disciples, and He was talking to them, comforting them, in chapter 14 and chapter 15 and then chapter 16, where we are now in this particular passage. Chapter 18, verse 12 is actually the starting point of his personal ministry. Personal ministry because from that time on, he was alone. When he was arrested, he was abandoned by his immediate disciples. So he was alone when he did his mission to die on the cross. And after that, of course, the resurrection in chapter 1, where he was meeting again the disciples who abandoned him when he was arrested. And that was the time when Peter was again interrogated, because Jesus found him again in the same body of water, the Sea of Galilee. Well, other writers of the gospel, they called it river, they call it sea, they call it lake. But John, they called it the Sea of Galilee instead of calling it a river. So we are now in the context of chapter 16, verse 33, in which the main context of chapter 16 is the promised Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was actually preparing himself to going to the cross, and after that, of course, he is comforting his disciples that he will be leaving for a little while, in which some of the disciples did not clearly understand what Jesus is talking about, that he will be leaving for a while, and for another while they will see him again. So Jesus is actually comforting them through the promised Holy Spirit, in which the Holy Spirit was called the Parakletos, or the Comforter. He will be ministering to the apostles and to the future believers. So when Jesus was talking to his disciples about the futures that they will be facing difficulties, because he himself will be facing the extreme suffering as Savior, he is actually not limited his discussion to the immediate disciples, but he is also talking of the comfort that the future disciple is actually in need also. So the context of chapter 16, while it is the promise of Holy Spirit to comfort and to guide the apostles or the immediate disciples, this is also a promise to all of us, the believers in today's lives, in Christian life. So our attitude in facing this troubled world. Well, the world is in trouble. We all know that. The politicians actually use, I have seen the former president of the United States was interviewed in BBC, and he used the word, the world is in chaos. After the pandemic that took the lives of millions of people all over the world, and left so many people empty and mentally drained, and economically we have experienced so much difficulties during the 3 years of pandemic, most especially in the Asian countries like Philippines, because I have seen that you have some lockdowns here, but in the Philippines it's total lockdown. We have different method of our government was having different method in facing the pandemic, the 3 years pandemic. So the world, no question about the reality that the world is in trouble. The ongoing wars in different places of the world, and the degradation, the moral issue right now, and the natural disasters that is actually happening again all over the world, most especially in Asia, the floodings, the earthquakes in different places. The floodings, I think the worst one is what happened in Libya, that took the lives of 10,000 people, and actually 11,000 people are still missing. But that is quite difficult. And we have seen different floods in different parts of the world. So that's natural disaster. This kind of troubled world is actually aggravated with so much greediness in this world. We have seen that powerful people disregard justice, disregard compassion, and so many people are living in arrogance right now. Well, for you Americans, I'm so glad, just to be honest with you, that Well, Philippines is being bullied by China right now in our claim to the West Philippine Sea. Just to be honest with you, even our national government and our military in the Philippines are actually looking up to the Americans for because your military power is more reliable compared to other nations. But the difficulties that the apostles and the immediate disciples of Jesus will be facing is quite different. In fact, Jesus used the analogy of a pregnant woman in this particular passage. So as we face this, as we live in this troubled world, how do we live as Christians? How do we live as believers? Probably it gives us idea on how we respond to different issues that we are facing. How the Filipino Christians are reacting in this difficult situation, and how the European and how the American Christians are responding to these difficulties. But we need to be comforted and to be guided by the Word of God as we live in this difficult situation. While so many people are relying in their military power, well, as believers, our attitude is important, and that is what we will be looking here this morning. So we should be comforted. So how do we live as Christians in this difficult situation? These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. The first thing that we need to exercise as Christian is to take courage. As Jesus reminded his immediate disciples, you will be facing tribulation. You will be facing difficulties. Take courage, because God remains to be in control of this creation, of the whole world. While there is an increase of evil in this world, God remains to be the most powerful God, and we could rely on Him. So we need to take courage as believers. The word courage here, Apostle John used the word terseta, that is translated as courage. In classical and archaic Greek, they normally use the word Andrea. So if your name is Andrea, that name means courage or confidence. It was translated by the classical Greek as fortitude. And that is the idea of that Andrea word, is the strength within, the ability to stand within, the courage within. But the word that was used by Apostle John here is from the word tereo. That's also translated as courage. What makes it different from Andrea is that tereo is that Greek word is telling us that is a kind of courage that is actually relying to someone who is powerful. And that is the reason why John used the word tereo, to encourage us that in facing this difficult situation that we are facing right now, we need to take refuge in God. Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation. And that is what we are seeing right now. Is there anything that is not happening in the language of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3? No, everything is happening. We have seen greediness. We have seen abuse of powers, most especially in Asian countries. In Asia, even in the Philippines, poor are becoming poorer. Rich are becoming richer. They have all the opportunities. They can even exploit the poor. So the difficulties that the world is facing is actually aggravated by the attitude of people, by the attitude of those who are in power, exploiting people, greediness. We have seen what Paul is saying to them. You will see that in the last days, people will be lovers of money. We have seen this even among the professionals. We have seen that even in the Philippines, we have seen that even during the pandemic, Actually, pandemic is a time where compassion should be properly exercised. But in many parts of the world, during pandemic, compassion was disregarded. In fact, for some businessmen, it was a time to earn more. It was used as a time for their own good. Lovers of money, lovers of themselves, haters of good, disrespectful to parents. Have we seen this? Yes. To all young people who are here, to all children, to all who understand what I am saying, the Bible is so clear. Honor and respect your parents, for God will give you a better life. But if we keep on, when I was in United Kingdom, I used to live in Birmingham. So my wife and I, together with my son, we used to attend an old church in Birmingham. The seating capacity of the church is 2,500. It's big. But at the time when we attended, only 25 people are there. No children, no young people. All who attended the worship service at that Sunday were actually old men and women. Some of them are actually having hard time to sing. So what happened? What will happen to the church? To that church? It will be closed. Well, in fact, Oxford Center for Mission, OCMS, Oxford Center for Mission Seminary there in Oxford, England, where I was supposed to take my PhD. That was a church of St. James that was closed, and they converted it into a seminary, into a Bible college. No more people. So to the children who are here, you invest your life to God, to Jesus. Listen to your parents. Continue to increase your faith and let the Word of God be your guide. And to all of us who are facing these difficulties in the world, let us take courage. That is the very word of Jesus to His disciples. You will face difficulties. You will face tribulation. But take courage. The Gospel of John and the author of the Gospel of John and the author of the three epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, reminded us that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. The spirit of darkness is at work, so busy, doing His will, doing His purpose. But John said to the believers there, greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. We need to take courage. We need to face these difficulties and challenges that we are experiencing right now in the name of Jesus. So take courage. The second one is trust. Trust in Him. For He allows painful things to happen for the ultimate fulfillment of His purpose or plan. Well, there are times that we question things that are actually happening around us. But sometimes God allows painful things to happen just to fulfill His own purpose. The analogy of Jesus here is what? A pregnant woman who is about to give, who is giving birth. I don't experience that, but for women who gave birth, you know what it means. Before joy comes, before happiness comes, it's a lot of suffering. That's a joke sometimes. Woman keeps on crying during the birth. And after 2 years, you will see her again. That's something, because it gives so much joy after. So we need to trust Him. Why God allows painful things to happen? Sometimes it's quite difficult to understand for us as human. But Jesus is telling His disciples at that time in John chapter 16, because He Himself will experience Because John chapter 13 up to chapter 18 is actually just 1 week. It took the chapter 13 up to the end of the Gospel of John. It's only 1 week. In chapter 13, after the Passover, on the day of the Passover. And remember that he was the lamb to be offered on the incoming Passover. So John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, it's just 1 week. And Jesus is telling them that you need to trust me. For I myself will experience, because he knows the impending suffering that he is about to face. Few days from the very words of John chapter 16. And why do we need to be comforted? Well, the Holy Spirit, it has been said by many theologians that in John chapter 16, the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sins. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the pastor, the work of the evangelist is to share the gospel, but to convict the sinners, to come to faith and to the knowledge of God, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to convict the world of sin. So the work of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16 is to convict, to convince, and to convert. Those things belong to him. Convicting the sinners. But another role of the Holy Spirit to the believers is to comfort the believers in times of difficulties, in times of trials. Well, pain and suffering are realities of human existence. That's we have no question about it. Wherever we go, people are suffering. That is part of our human existence. When humanity fell in Genesis chapter 3, remember that God himself, Jehovah Elohim, said in the book of Genesis chapter 3, from now on, curse is the ground because of you. From now on, it will produce what? Thorn and thistles. Those words are Hebrew words for pain and suffering. From now on, after the fall, the curse was declared. Curse is the ground because of you, because of what you have done. From now on, it will produce thorn and thistles. Thorn and thistles in Genesis, are they literal? No. Those are symbolical. That is actually telling us that from now on, humanity will live in pain and suffering. And we have seen that immediately after chapter 3, chapter 4 of Genesis, the killing of Cain to his very own brother. And Genesis chapter 5 is like what? It's like a cemetery. Because it's like what? A name and the year that he was born there, and then he died. It's like cemetery, Genesis chapter 5. So the human life is full of pain and suffering, and that's the reality. But in these difficult times, and in the difficulties that we are facing, what Jesus is telling to his disciples, take courage and trust in me. The very purpose why the Gospel of John was written, John chapter 20. These things I have written so that you may believe, you may trust, you may put your trust in me, Jesus said. These things, so the word tauta, it was repeatedly used in the writings of John. Even in chapter 16 that we are dealing right now, it was repeatedly used, tauta, tauta, these things I have spoken to you, these things I have spoken to you, so that you may not be surprised. So reality of human suffering is there, but we need to trust God. Trusting God is one of the best weapon for us to overcome this world. Let God be God. He might be doing something in silent that our eyes cannot see. But God is still at work for the good of His people. So despite of the fact that the world is in trouble, we could trust God. That is very clear in Psalms, the claim of the psalmist in 121. I look up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The third thing that we need to do is what? Jesus said here to his disciples, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. That is where we took the word, take refuge. So where do we take refuge? Jesus said, in me. Do we get peace by having military might? Well, it could be. It could be. Most especially Filipinos, where we have a very weak military, of course. You have seen that probably in CNN, that how our Coast Guard were actually bullied by the Coast Guard of China because they have so big ships there. And of course, nowadays, Americans are helping us there. And Australia and Japan are already there to help us, sending their own ships. But so Filipino normally look up to powerful countries like you. But as believers, to whom do we take refuge? Jesus said, so that you may know that you have peace in me. That's very clear. In chapter 16, Jesus said, I promise you. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I give you peace. My peace I give you. It is not from the world. It is from me. So we can take refuge in God. Even David, in his Psalms 46, that was my claim when I was infected with COVID 2020. Before the arrival of vaccine in the Philippines, I was infected. Mike knows it and Rick knows it, that I ask even prayer for those times that I have that difficulties. My doctor advised me, don't go to the hospital, you will die. Because those who died are actually in the hospitals. And those who survive are those in the house. So stay in your house. We will be just guiding you what to do and what to take. Difficult time. We take refuge. So I keep on reciting until such time that I heard my cry. I heard the cry of my wife, because I already give to her all my credit cards and all the cards that I have, because I have difficulties. So after a few hours, she returned to my room telling me that, Daddy, the Lord told me you will not die. Oh, really? But he told me to read to you Psalms 23. The Lord is our shepherd. I cried. But I am so thankful to God. I survived. Where do we take refuge? Take refuge in God. David says, God is my refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. God is always there. Somebody sent to me the song, God is too good. God is too wise, and God is too good. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. I suffered for 21 days, but I am so thankful to God. I survived. To Him I give glory and honor. I was able to take refuge in Him. Jesus said, so that you will know that in me. So where do we have peace? Where do we get peace? In Jesus. Jesus can sustain us in difficult moments. As we face this world with so much sufferings. We have lots of questions, but we have so many answers coming from Him and from His Word. So we should be comforted. Don't be so affected by how the media is actually releasing the news, what's going on with the world, because they are using different lenses. They are using their own lens. But for us Christians, the Word of God is our lens. This is how we read what's going on in this world, the Word of God. And we should be guided and we should be comforted with the truth of His Word and His promises. Let us continue to rely in God and to take refuge in Him, because in Him we have everything. The Holy Spirit can comfort us. The Holy Spirit will guide us in all the truths that in His Word was recorded. Let me give you some of it. Yes, the world is in trouble. But as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we are living under His divine will, comfort, and protection. Let us hide in Him. Yes, the world may do what they want, but the sovereign will and plans of God will continue and will be fulfilled. He will not abandon His plan. He will always be true to His promises. In this world, in this troubled world, God's people will always live full of hope. Look up to God. Let us look up to God. In Him, we have everything. Thank you so much, and may the Lord bless you. Please pray with me. Thank you so much, Father God, Lord Jesus, for Your great promises. And one of those promises is that You will always be with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us as we face this troubled world. Thank You so much, because You are our peace. You are our comfort. May Your hands continue to do in accordance with Your plans for Your people and for Your greatest kingdom. Thank You so much, Father. We bless Your name and we give You glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen.